are ready to hear God's word. And so that we can hear clearly, let's pray for the Holy Spirit's presence in our hearing and in our reading with our prayer for illumination. Let us pray. O God, our beginning and end, by whose command time runs its course, bless our impatience, perfect our faith, and while we await the fulfillment of your promises, grant us hope in your word. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to John. We're going to read chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then jumping ahead 19 through 28. And as we read this together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives and in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now, some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. Says the word of the Lord. So we heard a little bit about John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, last week, living out in the wilderness with his camel skin coat, eating locusts and wild honey, and proclaiming the coming of the day of the Lord, proclaiming that people ought to repent and believe this good news. This morning we look at John's gospel, and we see that John tells it a little bit differently about who John the Baptist is. For some context in this, of course, we have to remember what the opening words of John's gospel are. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was light, and that light was the light of all men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it, or the darkness cannot overcome it. And so we are introduced then to John as one who comes to testify to the light, who himself is not the light. Just so we don't get confused, confusing the messenger for the one that the messenger is pointing toward. I was out walking Daisy this morning, and it was astounding. When I woke up and I looked out the window, I couldn't see the church. Now, you know how close my house is to the church. It's widely known among the Coolidge School community that I have the best commute of any of the dads in Coolidge School. I couldn't see the church. I couldn't see the woods. I couldn't see our neighbor's house. The entire world was cloaked in this fog. Have you ever driven through fog before? Maybe if you were up early enough this morning, you drove through fog to get here in some places. Now, what they tell you in driver's ed is that driving through fog, you're not supposed to put on your high beams, which is sort of counterintuitive. You would think that if a little bit of light is a good thing through fog, then a lot of light would be a great thing. But what it actually does is it shines so brightly that all it does is illuminate the fog in front of you, and you see a shield of white instead of being able to see the cars that are coming at you. You see, the shining of the light is not about you, it's about the other people. It's so that they can see you, and if you're out walking your dog, it's so that you can see whether a car is going to suddenly come out of the fog and take you out in the middle of the crosswalk. It's there for everyone's safety. It's like that with John. He is himself not the light, but he's pointing toward the light. It's so that others can see the light, not so that he himself can shine as the light. And I think sometimes churches forget this aspect of things. Churches take on a savior complex themselves, believing that they are the ones that have the responsibility to change the world, to be the light themselves. And so the Pharisees, they send priests, they send others, they send emissaries, ambassadors, representatives, to ask this weird guy out in the desert, who are you and what in the world are you doing out here? Now, these are educated folks. They know their Old Testament prophecy. And, well, to be perfectly honest, John the Baptist is not the only one out in the desert. He's the only one we hear about in Scripture, but historical records from that day show that there were a lot of wackos out in the desert doing a lot of weird stuff and proclaiming a lot of strange things. Many of them claiming themselves to be the Messiah or to be the second coming of Elijah or the prophet that is foretold in the Old Testament. And so obviously, those in Jerusalem send representatives out to find out if John is just another one of these messianic figures, someone else that they can write off as crazy. And so they ask him, are you Elijah? He says, no. Well, are you the prophet? No. Then who are you and why are you baptizing? And he quotes from Isaiah, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for the coming of the Lord. He's one calling out in the wilderness. Now, interestingly, in the other Gospels, when people ask Jesus about who John is, Jesus calls him Elijah, calls him the prophet. But I think it's really important for us to note that Jesus calls John that. He doesn't name himself that. It's a good lesson for any of us in our lives. That's what humility looks like. We don't claim the mantle for ourselves. It's placed on us by other people who are greater than us. that honor is bestowed on us by some higher authority, right? Sort of a controversial thing in the world right now is an opinion writer for the Wall Street Journal calling out Dr. Jill Biden for using the name doctor in front of her name. But she didn't name herself doctor. The University of Delaware did. I have a doctorate. I don't really ask anyone to call me Dr. Chris or anything like that, only my kids. I make them call me doctor, you know, whenever they come to me, because obviously, you know, why not? If there isn't anyone, you know, well, anyway, digress. So, someone else gave me the title. I didn't give it to myself. I didn't wake up one day and say, you know, I'm going to go by Dr. Chris or Dr. J. You know, I'm going to go slam dunk, right? I'm Dr. J. This honor of the prophet is given to John by someone else. He doesn't claim it for himself. For him, he is ready to diminish in importance, not to rise in importance. He says to the Pharisees, someone is already among you that's greater than I am. And when he chooses to emerge, he'll baptize with real power. I'm just baptizing with water. This is about preparation. But when he emerges from among you, he will be the one to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not even worthy to untie this guy's sandals. That's what it is to give testimony to the light. John proclaims to the Pharisees that it's not that Jesus is coming someday. He's already there among them. And in fact, if we were to read to the next chapter, Jesus has been hanging out amongst John and his disciples the whole time. And finally, one day, John looks up and sees him and points and says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And some of John's disciples leave John in order to become Jesus' disciples. But it all begins with John simply giving testimony about the light. One other interesting thing about the foggy day that we had earlier today, by the time I was done with my walk, the sun had started to rise. And now, your headlights kind of shine so that others can see you, but they don't put out enough light to eliminate the fog. But the sun is powerful enough and hot enough to cut through that fog and cause it to dissipate. If you've ever been to San Francisco before, you've seen the bay shrouded in fog, and there are times on the Golden Gate Bridge you can't even see it. You make plans. You're going to go up to the Marin Headlands, and you're going to look over, and you're going to get this great photo opportunity, only to have this huge fog roll in and shroud everything in darkness. But when the sun shines, it eliminates the fog. When the true light comes into the world, the fog cannot possibly overcome it. It's destroyed. John is pointing to the true light. And as we, as Christians, as disciples, part of our job of preparation is giving testimony to the true light, the light that we have experienced ourselves, the light that cuts through that fog and that darkness and that gives our lives meaning. We ourselves are not the light. We're not called to be anyone's savior. But our call in the world, like John, is to give our testimony. And that's the word that comes up here over and over again. He testifies. He gives testimony. It's like he's in court. He raises his right hand and he says, I swear to tell the truth about what has happened in my life and what can happen in your life. That's our job as disciples. That's our job as Christians, to shine that light towards other people, that they might be drawn to the true light who could fill their lives with light and destroy that darkness for good. On this third Sunday in Advent, we light the pink candle for joy. The Latin word, if you're keeping track, Gaudete, joy. And that is our joy on this third Sunday in the season of Advent. The joy that points us to the light that is already among us. The light of all people. The light that shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for giving us a story to tell, filling our lives with light, and calling us to give the testimony about that light to all of those that we encounter in our lives. We pray for the courage to point other people in that direction, to the light of Christ that has the ability to fill our lives with such hope and such joy and such peace. Continue to be with us in this season of Advent, in this season of preparation, that we, as your faithful servants, might proclaim your good news to the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today comes to us from a sister denomination. It's called Our World Belongs to God. Let's stand together. This is a responsive reading, by the way. As followers of Jesus Christ living in this world, which some seek to control, but others view with despair, we declare with joy and trust.
Our world belongs to God.
From the beginning, through all the crises of our times, until his kingdom fully comes, God keeps covenant forever.